I know if you're like me, when I was still working and not retired, if it's Friday, it means, you know, you are just working for the weekend and you're counting down the hours and the minutes till the clock strikes five, and hopefully you've got the next couple days to yourself and to your family. And you know, I want to say if you've been getting notices about this show that I'm doing today, Stifled No More, I'm just going to say it, and you can too, and also Project 2025 Versus Women, you've been waiting for me to come on air, and I haven't been here. Well, it's because Blog Talk is having lots and lots of technical difficulties, and this isn't the first time either. So I just want to put it out there that if ever you see notice of a show and then the show doesn't happen, it's a 99.9% chance that their system has gone down, and it has gone down for the last few days. I haven't been able to get on the air. I saw they apparently fixed it this morning, and I know this is an odd time for me to be broadcasting, but I thought, you know what, I better get on the air while the getting's good, as they say. So this is the show that I was going to do on Wednesday, but here I am today, Friday morning. And you know, if you joined me last week, you know I've started a new format for my long-running show here. I'm still going to be talking about sex, power, politics, religion, the divine feminine, women's rights, patriarchy, all the rest. But I'm not going to be interviewing authors so much. Occasionally, you know, I've done that since 2009, but I decided to mix it up a bit. You know, I've been given the unofficial label, so to speak, of a thought leader, and I decided, well, you know, let me share my thoughts. You know, let me go ahead and share the bees that are buzzing around in my bonnet. And there they are. They're hard at work. So anyway, you know, that's kind of my new tagline now, and I like to say that, you know, after they're busy doing their thing, you can enjoy the fruits of their labors and enjoy the honey that kind of drips out of my ears, so to speak. I know that's strange, but you know, what can I say? I thought it was cute, and I'm sticking with it. So anyway, we're going to be talking today about how women are stifled, and I saw it just this week where I live, actually. I had a really fun time with some courageous women yesterday. We were out in front of the courthouse at Grants Pass, and we had our signs. It was a rally, Bands Off Our Bodies. And I know a lot of other women would have loved to have come, but I really do believe they were afraid to come out. They've been so put down, squashed. You know, they're afraid. You know, maybe their conservative employer will fire them, or, you know, maybe they'll you know, get a hassle from their boyfriend or their father or mother, who knows. We had lots of car horns honking for us. You know, we did see the occasional thumbs down. It was really interesting when a motorcycle passed us and the guy had a thumbs down for our freedom signs and our down with patriarchy signs, but his girlfriend who was sitting behind him on the bike had a thumbs up. I wonder if they had a conversation, shall we say, you know, when they get home. But anyway, my sign said, patriarchy is a disease. Let's eradicate it. Bands off our bodies. And I drew all of these little graphics for a disease on mine. And some said freedom. And one woman said GOP, OMG, WTF. Follow that one, GOP, Republicans, oh my God, what the F. You know, there were lots of great signs. You know, there was a woman who had signs of ovaries with an image of the elephant, you know, for Republicans inside her ovaries. You know, get the GOP out of my ovaries, get your rosaries out of my ovaries, all of those sorts of signs, you know. So anyway, we had a really good time yesterday, and I felt like we represented the rights and freedoms and privacy of women. And it sort of ties into the show today, which, you know, again, is Stifled No More. I'm just going to say it. And so I'm just going to start sharing my thoughts here with you. And for me, you know, when I started thinking about the topic, I realized it went back a long time. You know, we don't realize these things, you know, how our subconscious is shaped. You know, it goes back to when I was a kid and I'd hear my mother say, children should be seen and not heard. Well, do you ever wonder where so many of our mothers got that same statement that, you know, we heard all the time? If we were speaking up or asking too many questions or, I don't know, being too loud or whatever it is. So, well, you know, or maybe like me, you were told nice girls shouldn't ask questions, or especially you don't talk about money or sex. And again, who did that serve? You know, we didn't grow up learning about money or sex then. We go out into the world potentially ignorant and naive and targets for people to prey on us. Or, you know, I wonder if it was just a Southern thing, you know, but it seems like my California friends said that their mothers told them the same thing. So how do these ideas spread across the country, like osmosis or something? Well, you know, I think I was probably stifled from an early age, and it continued as a woman growing up in the sexist South. Religion further stifled me, though at the time I didn't really understand what being a second-class person was. I didn't understand what living in patriarchy meant. But I realized I carried that obedience to being stifled into my adulthood. Even me as a social justice, you know, feminist and goddess advocate, you know, who believe in women's rights, it was there in back of my mind, and I didn't even realize it. And, you know, maybe we can't help but carry that conditioning, that obedience to being stifled or being afraid to speak up. You know, we carry it. So, you know, here's an example. For instance, have you ever signed a non-disclosure agreement? You know, they call it an NDA. Well, that was just once a benign business practice. Now it's often an insidious tactic used to stifle the evils that some would rather be kept secret. You know, we heard about Harvey Weinstein doing it, and Epstein, and Trump, and I mean, so many, you know, bad actors do that sort of thing. You know, we've heard quite a lot about these in the news lately, and you know what, we accept them as normal, but should we? You know, I can understand having signed an NDA not to share, you know, your company's secrets about their formulas or their intellectual property or something, but you know, to have to sign agreements because maybe someone was breaking the law. I mean, I think if I'm no attorney, so don't hold me to this, but I think if someone is making you sign something that is about them breaking the law, I don't think they can actually hold you to that silence. But, you know, if you happen to have signed an NDA, don't take my word for it. Check with an attorney before you speak out. But, you know, sometimes we sign these things when someone with power over us has us over a barrel. Sometimes there's a tempting payoff with it and sometimes not. You know, when I left New Orleans, when I was 30, and I also left the constraints of family and Christianity because I grew up Catholic, I realized I allowed myself to be stifled. You know, while I was out, so to speak, about God and spirituality, and I left, you know, what vestiges of Christianity were in me behind, I was still stifled when it came to politics. And, you know, maybe that was because of the scars left behind from friendships that got fractured and the ugly frenzy, you know, that ensued when Hillary and Bernie were vying for the Democratic nomination. You know, that really left, a wound in me, quite frankly. To a certain extent, I still stifle about politics if I don't know who I'm in the room with, you know. And, you know, maybe that's stifling. Maybe that's just good sense. I don't know. But I know I am not being my authentic self. And I'd much rather be with people who I don't have to walk on eggshells with, right? Well, more women I know today want to just you know, pray away the evils of the world or say both parties are the same or, worse yet, think the oppressors and dominators are the good guys. And that really makes me ask myself, should I continue to self-stifle? Shouldn't we be able to talk about things as friends, even agree to disagree and stay friends if in the end we don't see eye to eye? You know, none of us know what we don't know because truth in many bubbles has been stifled for the benefit of the rich and powerful, and some people don't get that, you know? You know, I know I self-stifled on the job. I mean, none of us can tell our boss, our clients, our coworkers, maybe what we really think of them, can we? You know, we've got to come back tomorrow and see these people. So, you know, we're kind of over the barrel there. You know, learning and practicing the wisdom of silence, perhaps, you know, that's not always a bad thing either. You know, the group I was in Los Angeles, we talked about, you know, the wisdom of silence. And it isn't always a bad thing. But, you know, sometimes we self-stifle to fit in or to fade into the woodwork, like when I was I like to call it parked in my handicap zone up on that faraway mountain where few people were like me, you know. Here I was up there with Roy, you know, as we were trying to, you know, I was recovering from post-traumatic stress from the stun gun assault, and Roy was recovering from the brain injury, and, you know, my world was swirling down the toilet, you know, as we were parked up there in our isolation, which is, you know, kind of another form of stifling. I was told by a so-called friend in air quotes, who professed to be a counselor, mind you, that talking about my struggles, my worries, my grief was being negative. And, you know, I think we probably spoke twice in those 2 years I was up there. But, you know, she said from me talking about that, I was the most negative person in the world. So, you know, I kind of made a note to myself. When people ask you how you are, well, they don't always want an honest answer. And that's horrible, isn't it? You know, I'll probably carry that around for a really long time. And but I'm working on getting rid of it. I guess my friend's counseling practice didn't include talk therapy. But, you know, she seemed callously oblivious that I'd lost almost everything. But don't worry, I gave her the metaphorical middle finger I think she deserved. But, you know, I let that cruel accusation stifle me. You know, we're talking about being stifled here. You know, now when other people asked, after that, when other people asked how I was doing processing the PTSD, caring for Roy alone with little support up there, I put on a happy face, you know, like you see in the antidepressant commercials, and I lied. I said, I'm doing fine. We're great. But, you know, I was filled with shame, and I didn't want somebody else to think I was the most negative person in the world if I shared my pain and vulnerability. So pain and shame causes us to self-stifle. You know, that's where I'm kind of going with that story. So in hindsight, you know, knowing more today about the body-mind connection, I wonder how things might have been different for me health-wise had that fair-weather friend just said she was sorry that she hadn't been there for me, that she was sorry for our loss rather than victimizing the victim, which is what it felt like to me. Might self-stifling or force-stifling be affecting your mental or physical health too? You know, it's really worth thinking about. You know, I believe it affected my thyroid, you know, my throat chakra, if you get the connection I'm trying to make. So anyway, back there on that mountain, it felt like there was a church on every corner, so I refrained from being my authentic self up there. I wasn't me when I met somebody new. I was afraid to give talks at the local bookstore, even though I got invitations. You know, my attorney for my workers' comp case made me afraid to keep doing my podcast. Fear was stifling me, and maybe even fear from a past life. Which I'm going to talk about, I think, if we have time today or in another one of these podcasts. But yeah, an Akashic record reading that I had may point to where some of this stifling for me comes from. So locale and fear, along with cruel and thoughtless words from others, resulted in a triple whammy of stifling for me. I even pretended to be something I wasn't and joined a quilting and crafting group. You know, I didn't know anything about quilting. Lovely ladies, but there was no connection there whatsoever. You know, it was brutal, but I was just so starved for human contact. I was getting really tired and sick, I mean really unwell from all the stifling. The dishonesty was really taking, you know, a physical and mental toll. So, you know, I'm going to kind of go off a little bit here, you know, take a side road for just a minute. You know, this might seem unrelated to stifling, but trust me, it's not. You know, can we stop here and, you know, time travel for a minute, take this other road back to maybe the mid-1990s? Because I want to tell you that the group I belonged to in Los Angeles for years shouted at the closing of every ritual, "May patriarchy fall." You know, we wanted social justice, female empowerment, equal pay, religious freedom, nonconformity, freedom for everyone, equality for everyone. You know, we gave little thought to how we'd get there or what it would look like living through it. You know, while I know all this chaos, you know, out in the world right now has to play out today for humanity to evolve, it reminds me, though, of the saying, be careful what you wish for, because, you know, we are seeing patriarchy fall. You know, most of us couldn't imagine what the fall of patriarchy would look like as we put that energy into the world, but today we're living it. The media, owned by billionaires, totally gaslighting the public, a.k.a. stifling their knowledge. And I'm not just talking about Fox News anymore, folks. I'm really upset with MSNBC and some of these people who, you know, just really aren't doing their job as the fourth estate, you know. character, integrity, education, and the common good. They're absent today in the Republican presidential candidate and the Republican Party, and its followers go along with that. So, you know, they're stifling the integrity of America. For some today, the leader of the free world can be morally bankrupt, ignorant, a sex predator, a con man, a fraudster, a liar, a narcissist. Well, WTF, exclamation point, exclamation point. You know, our judgment is being stifled. I mean, maybe not yours and mine, but a lot of people's judgment is being stifled if that can pass for the person they want to run the country. And, you know, then there's the Supreme Court denying the Constitution, revoking decades of precedent to take away voter rights, worker rights, women's rights. And why? To help the billionaires that have paid them off, who have given them gratuities? Well, that's stifling freedom and equality. And then basing their abortion decision on men from the 1200s to 1700s, back then when women were property of their father or their husband? Come on, give me a break. I mean, I know they want to send women back. There are videos out there of Republicans saying women should never even have gotten the right to vote. But, okay, I'm going to take a breath. You know, they've ruled to give a crackpot con man almost complete immunity for anything he did or will do. They're stifling justice. Bribery of the Supreme Court by billionaires is on full display today with little pushback from many who must know better, and that's stifling the law, order, and ethics. Then there's one political party being bribed by a former KGB agent and dictator of Russia who has thugs push his enemies out of windows to disappear them. You know, where is their patriotism? Why is their patriotism being stifled? And they're encouraging others to get behind this wannabe dictator, too. Why? Why? Because Russia is mostly white? Is it their racism showing there? Do people know all of this or just don't care? You know, this stifling is like stealing from us. And are we complicit with our silence or our support of all of that? You know, sometimes, I don't know about you, but it feels like we're living in a movie adapted from a new horror novel by Stephen King. And unless you've been living life totally astream, shall we say, I just created that word, astream, in quotes, maybe living in the world of Netflix for the last 8 years, you know, maybe you know what I'm talking about. Maybe you've been paying attention, you know, instead of being like the three monkeys, you know, hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil. So, you know, what I just set up, you know, is a very short list of tragedies we're living through. You know, don't even get me going on tax cuts for the already stinking rich. You know, we used to talk about our outrage that CEOs made 50 or then 400 times more than workers. Now, with corporate greed, some are making 1,000 times more than workers. But yet the Republicans want to blame the president, you know? He's not in control of that, although they are trying to do something about that in Kamala Harris's next term, and President Biden is trying to work on some things that are within his grasp now. Well, also, too, remember when COVID was mishandled by Trump and we were told maybe we could inject bleach to get rid of it, that wearing masks were an imposition that made us uncomfortable or look silly until ear bandages were in vogue? I don't know, call me short-sighted, but I never imagined patriarchy falling would look like this. I, or should I say we, the women I circled with, we didn't realize the risks of patriarchy falling and living through that. We certainly didn't understand the fragility of democracy or the power of greed to destroy the foundations of our country. But then again, this is what falling and crumbling looks like. as the divine feminine raises her head. And I say that in, you know, bold letters. She's showing us in stark contrast what the dark underbelly of patriarchy and capitalism really is, though it hadn't damaged or threatened most of us equally up until now. Because, you know, a couple of the legs on the stool of patriarchy are racism, sexism, environmentalism, and classism. Yeah, those keep that stool of patriarchy propped up. And, you know, I just can't allow myself to be stifled and robbed of my voice anymore. I have, you know, so that leads me to ask you, have you heard of Project 2025 yet? There's a lot out there on it. I've written about it in my newsletters. I've shared links in my newsletters. You know, please look for it. There are even training videos have been leaked, you know, that, you know, kind of give you the behind-the-scenes views on this. So it's a 900-page document, 30 chapters. It's basically Trump's campaign platform, though he's distancing himself from it now because as more people hear about it, they're just not at all interested. You know, no one should see this as anything but the, you know, their fascist Bible. You know, and, you know, the Trump's name is all over it, his former staffers and handlers and supporters that are, you know, donating to his campaign. Their fingerprints are all over it, his current vice president. Presidential pick, Christian nationalist J.D. Vance is entrenched in it like quicksand, you know. So make no mistake, you know, you need to know about Project 2025. This cannot happen, you know, here in the United States. We just simply can't, you know, it would change life as we know it. If you've read The Handmaid's Tale, you know, we would be living in Gilead, you know. Anyway, you know, make no mistakes, this is one of the last gasps of patriarchy and toxic masculinity as, you know, they attempt to turn back the clock to a time when they could control us and decide what normalcy looks like. This is The Handmaid's Tale on steroids. And, you know, if, you know, you thought this couldn't, you know, it couldn't get really so bad. Did you ever think some of the developments I read, you know, that I just, you know, said to you a few minutes ago would ever happen or that the United States would lurch away from democracy? You know, there are just so many eerie similarities between Margaret Atwood's book, The Handmaid's Tale, to what these people want to do, you know, and they've told us what they want to do. It's their playbook. You know, you don't put together a 900-page book, 30 chapters, if, you know, you're just going to stick it in the corner and forget about it. So I want to tell you just about a few things that are in Project 2025, and I'm going to add my snarky comments. And this Project 25 comes compliments of the Heritage Foundation, which is responsible for, you know, all the damage to the Supreme Court. This is from Christian nationalist, dominionist Christianity, and billionaires and their useful idiot, you know who I'm talking about, 45. This is how these new Republicans want to shape, reshape America for everyone that's not rich, white, or Christian man. Well, excuse me. Let me take a sip of coffee here. Roy just actually brought me a cup. What a sweetie he is. So they want to end no-fault divorce, which means women would have no say in abusive marriages. They think women should stay in abusive marriages for the kids. Forget your dreams or your happiness, you know, and if you don't believe it, J.D. Vance is on video confirming it. They want to end the Affordable Care Act, which means that protection for pre-existing conditions are gone. And, you know, it means a lot of other things, but, you know, that one stands out for me. There'd be more tax breaks for the 1%, you know, as if they're not rich enough as they buy the Supreme Court and build spaceships to fly to Mars or the moon. They want a complete abortion ban. And, you know, don't fall for this, oh, well, they've sent it to the states. You know, that's just a way to cover up that so many of the states, you know, women are dying in parking lots, hemorrhaging out, because emergency room doctors can't do anything to help these women who are in the throes of a miscarriage. You know, leaving the country for abortions or back alley abortions are going to be the only thing left. If you're not rich, and too bad for poor women. And you know, let's give the states the right to track your menstrual cycle. And I know that sounds extreme, but it's not hyperbole. It's been raised in legislatures in red states. And please don't believe women are callously aborting babies in their 9th month of pregnancy. That would be murder. Use critical thinking, please. They want to cut Social Security. They want to, and about Social Security, I'm so tired of it being called an entitlement, like we think we're getting something for free. We worked for Social Security and Medicare. We put into it our entire lives. We contributed, and the government made a contract with us that it would be there so we could retire in dignity and have our health care taken care of when we're in retirement. This is an entitlement. We paid for it. It was a contract between us and the government. So don't, you know, let the survival of the fittest pull yourself up from the bootstraps idea, you know, take you down a garden path of error. And, you know, they never want to tell us about the government in the Scandinavian countries. You know, so many other countries, retirement starts at 61, and Republicans want to push it to 67. I mean, they want us to work until we die. You know, they want to end climate protections. They want to cut Medicare. They want to defund the FBI, Homeland Security, as if, you know, these domestic terrorists, like the ones on January 6th, you know, aren't, you know, domestic terrorists in our midst. You know, while we're at it, why don't we just make January 6th a holiday and call it Timothy McVeigh Day? Remember, he was the one that ran that car full of bombs into the Oklahoma FBI office, I think it was. They want to ban sexual orientation and gender identity programs. They want to ban African American and gender studies. You know, that means no women's studies either, ladies. That means, you know, not learning about egalitarian societies or herstory or matriarchies or suffragettes, potentially. They want a male-dominated Christianity, dominated theocracy. And anything that gets in its way or runs a counter-narrative is not going to be tolerated. They're already banning books and curriculums about slavery. And, you know, I hope you keep those hardback books and paperback books, because how long before Jeff Bezos is convinced that Amazon can't sell undesirable or dangerous books anymore, you know? They want to limit contraception pills and regulate IVF. They want to ban pornography and imprison anyone who disobeys. Now, I'm not for pornography, but people have a right to look at it. And that would mean even that the flowery erotica would probably go too. They want to have a Muslim ban and detention camps for brownies coming across the border. I mean, what happened to all those babies that the Trump administration separated from their parents during that time he was in the White House? I can't help but say it. I have no evidence for this, but I've often wondered if those babies that are missing and haven't been able to be relocated to their families, were they sold off to, you know, rich, white, wannabe parents who couldn't have children? They want to eliminate unions and worker protections. They want to raise prescription drug costs as if they're not expensive enough. I mean, Roy and I just had to say no to a prescription his doctors ordered for him because it was going to cost us $250 a month. Yeah, one prescription. They want to eliminate the Department of Education. Yeah, because Americans are just the best educated in the world, aren't they? Ever listen to the interview of people at Trump rallies? Seriously? I mean, if we just go to homeschooling or, you know, these schools with vouchers that are controlled by the people that Trump and Project 2025 would put at the helm, you know, our whole history will be distorted. You know, it will be brainwashing on steroids. They want to use the military to break up protesters. They want to end birthright citizenship. They want to eliminate the FDA, the EPA, and the NOAA because, you know, billionaires don't need to be bothered with expensive regulations that protect the public or keep the air clean and the water clean. You know, they just have to worry about getting richer. I mean, these are soulless men who must lay in bed at 3 o'clock in the morning with a big hole in their heart, in their stomach, that they just can't fill with anything. You know, they think another $1 billion is what they need to fill that hole. Well, somebody really needs to tell them it's not money that's going to fill that hole. I mean, they don't seem to matter if our food isn't safe or we can't track weather or fish are dying in the oceans and rivers. Let us eat cake, right? Well, you know, I know Marie Antoinette didn't actually say that, but, you know, that's what the general public believes, and you kind of get the point. They also want to end stem cell research and other sciences because, you know, we don't need no stinking science. And, you know, I'm afraid to say with their hatred and fear of gay and trans people, I don't even want to think what will happen to my gay friends. You know, will their marriages be annulled? Will they take their children away because they consider them deviants? Anyway, I hope you'll take the time to look into Project 2025. I know I probably sound like I'm fear-mongering here, but I'm really not. I'm just telling you what's in it. And if you're a government worker or, you know, this one last point, if you're a government worker or, I mean, they also have horrible ideas for, you know, veterans benefits as well. But getting back to government workers, you're at risk of losing your job if you're not a loyalist. Look up Schedule F. Millions of career government employee jobs, people who know how to keep the government running, are at risk as they're replaced with untrained and unqualified cronies. And I don't know whether you've heard the speeches that Trump's given, but he suggests that football coaches and NASCAR drivers can replace generals in the military. That's the kind of thinking that's at the top, people. So, please, again, look up Project 2025. And, you know, and if you're still listening, I thank you. If you didn't already tune me out and go back to Netflix or jump over to another podcast, you know, please, you know, I just want to say thank you for that. Thank you for not leaving the show. You know, I really do believe this could be implemented inch by inch, or maybe like in The Handmaid's Tale. We'll wake up one morning to dozens of overnight presidential executive orders signed by Trump or J.D. Vance if they've figured out how to get rid of Trump, and women won't be able to vote or have bank accounts, you know? That's what happened in the book. You know, it was an overnight coup, and we saw what happened January 6th, right? And I'm telling you, I think that was just a failed practice run. So anyway, with Project 2025, we know what they plan. They aren't even trying to hide it. It's been in the works for a long time. It started back in the Reagan days. They started to implement it a little bit here and a little bit there. But now it's in a book for everybody to read. It's their playbook. you know, I believe they think they're divinely guided by God, so they can justify these actions. And this is their fever dream for a male-dominated Christian theocracy. And they just believe we're all going to roll over and play dead. But we're not. People like me and maybe people like you should not be stifled. We should talk about it. Yeah. And I think I've gone on longer than I meant to today. But the divine feminine is on the rise. We see it everywhere. Women rising is the divine feminine rising. It's the divine feminine values in action. We're seeing it everywhere. You know, Dale Allen's docufilm, In Our Right Minds, talks about you know, the theory that because we've all gotten so much more visual, which helps that rise of the feminine. Let me backtrack a minute so it makes more sense. So in Our Right Minds, the idea is that in the days of when the divine feminine was prevalent in our history, it was because people were more in their right brain. We hadn't yet developed writing. When we developed writing, we shifted over to our left brain, and in doing so, we kind of left the ideas and the values that came along with our right brain. We sort of let that take a back seat, or it became secondary. But now, with so many of us becoming more visual, that helps the right brain be restored. And that actually might be helping the rise of the feminine. So anyway, you know, things are on the rise. Women vote. I don't know if you heard the latest from J.D. Vance, but he said postmenopausal women, you know, they're good for taking care of the grandchildren. You know, he's also said that rape and the children that are a result of rape, well, that's an inconvenience. You know, these men are just out of the dark ages. They won't stop until all we are is breeders and in the kitchen, barefoot and pregnant again. So they have damaged us. Religion has damaged us. Patriarchy has damaged us. And I have an antidote for the wounded feminine consciousness, and I'm going to be doing a podcast about that. I'm sorry, not a podcast, a webinar about that on the 29th of September. If you'd like to hear more about joining that webinar, it's only $15. Please join me because there are ways for us to counter the wounding that religion and patriarchy has done both men and women. The webinar is for both. So contact me at KarenTate108@yahoo.com, and I will be glad to tell you more about the webinar coming up in September. Well, I managed to fit it all in. Thank you. Thank you for continuing to listen. And I'm just going to, you know, I started with Warrior Goddess, and I'm going to go out with a tribute to Sekhmet because, you know, women, we have to stand in our healthy boundaries and not let this Project 2025 roll over us like a steamroller. So please, consider what I've said about being stifled. Be stifled no more, because trust me, Project 2025 would stifle so many of us in so many ways. Because stifling, obviously, from if you've been listening, it's not only our speech, it's in our rights as well. So I will be back with you next Wednesday, provided Blog Talk is working. I'm going to be talking about how knowledge is power. And I hope you're enjoying the new format of the show. Please share it around with your friends. And again, please consider joining my webinar on September 29th. Contact me at KarenTate108@yahoo.com. I'll send you a link to register. It is only $15. And you know what? I don't care if a friend is there with you and you guys watch it together. You know, the more the merrier. And you don't even have to pay twice. All right, so I am signing off now with a tribute to Sekhmet, our lion-headed Egyptian goddess, who teaches women to say no without guilt and have healthy boundaries. Hail Sekhmet, Sa Sekhem Sahu.